Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got Eric, we got Megan, we got Rudo coming to you live on the day before the Avs start round two anyway. I guess other teams round two has already begun. Doing a bit of an early show today to break down Avs versus Dallas. There's a lot of storylines in this series. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of storylines in it, particularly from the Avs side of things. You have Matt Duchene playing for Dallas. That's nothing new. They beat Duchene with Nashville a couple years ago. You have Pete DeBoer coaching for Dallas. That is a guy the Avs have lost to multiple times. It's also Dallas, a team that they lost a game 7-2 in the bubble. That doesn't even get into the Avs side of things, which includes stuff like Val Nichushkin and Joel Kiviranta. When you look at this series, are you guys excited or are you guys expecting a grind?
Both.
Fair.
I think it's going to be a hard fought match. I think they're, no matter who it was, Vegas or Dallas, it was going to be a difficult second round opponent. But I've talked all year about how well constructed Dallas is. But the thing holding me back from getting too carried away was they're not battle tested. They don't have the experience of going deep in the playoffs with this group, and I don't doubt that they can. I just need to see it to believe it. Whereas for Colorado, I think that was something that emerged as a strength of theirs in the first round, was their experience. And so I'm excited to see how some of the young and inexperienced but talented players of Dallas stack up against the headliners of Colorado, who are a little more proven.
Yeah, I'm not trying to step on Winnipeg, but I do believe, you know, Dallas is going to be a better opponent right now. It is. You're down to 8 teams out of 32. There's no freebies. There's no gimmies once you get there. Yep. One of the toughest rounds to get through is the first round. It just is. It's just, talk to anybody, talk to any player, coach, management. It's just tough. It's just a lot of pressure to get out. You can put the nerves away once you get to the second round, because now you're playing basically for your childhood dream. You know what I mean? Because it's when you're little, you're always like, oh, man, you know. So you're like, okay, if we win this one, then we're going to Final Four, right? You know, so you're right there. It's a little less, I don't know why. You would think it would be the opposite. Like your nerves would be like a little tighter. You're actually a little looser. So I expect the Avs to be feeling good about their game. And then same thing about Dallas. You know, that was a big win. You took down the defending Stanley Cup champion. So I expect Dallas to be, there will be tighter games, you know, and I know we said, well, after game one, Hellebuck's going to be better. Then after two, we're like, oh God, oh, he's going to be better in game three. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's never really got better. So the Avs did a good job, and that just shows you how powerful their offense is and how special their players are. But I do believe the Avs know, and that core knows, they know how to win that 1-0 game if they have to. So whatever you throw at them, I feel confident that the Avs can go with it, take it, and adapt to it. They're going to be well-rested. said it last week. I'll say it again. I'm a big believer in short series. It does pay off down the stretch. You might pay for it the first 10 minutes of the game that you're back. Yes. But then figure it out and get a couple saves and, you know, and go from there. But I do believe the Avs will be very, very ready for this series. And I do believe that Dallas is up to the challenge. Dallas is up to the test. They build themselves knowing that somewhere, somehow, they probably would have to go through Colorado. It's a little bit like the Avs in Detroit back then, you know, where you're,
yep,
you're like, okay, this is probably why we got, you know, Chris Tanev at the deadline. This is probably why we, you know, build ourselves a little bit differently. You know, we talked about it, passing the baton to Wyatt Johnson. And then, you know, I mean, where you're inflecting a little bit of younger guys and, you know, some fresh legs and younger legs. And so I think it's going to be a tighter series. And again, kind of hard to Captain Obvious over here. Like, I don't expect to be like the Avs to score 5 to 7 goals a game. I don't see it, you know, again. If it happens, that'd be awesome. I don't see it.
I don't think it'll happen.
I think that if you look at the end of the first round, like game 5, 6, 7, there's a lot of, you know, 0-0 games going into the third. And, you know, it's a little bit more of a chess match. It's a little bit more of a grind. And Dallas seems to be able to smother you too, you know. And then the Avs are going to have to do that too. You know what I mean? So. And I know Josh Manson had 5 points, which is awesome. But he did say it after a couple of games. I got to be what I am, which is play tough in front of the net.
A crusher, not a rusher.
Exactly. Which is awesome. You know, you'll take it. But remember who you are as a person and remember who you are as a identity of a team.
To your point on the rest factor, obviously it's a quick turnaround in Dallas. That's what you get for going a 7-game series. But well, I think it is worth noting, no extra day off anywhere in this series, no matter how many games it goes.
Yep.
It's not like that Winnipeg series where they had that extra travel day. So Dallas really doesn't get a whole lot of chance to recuperate. And I wanted to start with Megan's talk about the headliners. Because I think the reality of the Avs is, of the 31 other teams in the NHL, the Avs will have the headliners against 30 of them. Maybe only Connor McDavid is someone that headlines higher than anyone on the Avs. And when you take McKinnon and Makar and Mikko, let me ask you to you guys this way. How much more can they get out of those top guys for Colorado in this Dallas series?
Well, Mikko Rantanen obviously came up big in
game five.
In game five for Colorado. But through that point, a lot of production, just kind of sneaking assists on the power play, which is important, right? They need to convert on the power play as well. But I think he has more to give 5v5 than we saw. And I think that on the power play as well, though he collected some of those points, I think he has more to give in special teams in that regard, just because looking at how Dallas's power play stacks up against Colorado's, Colorado does have the slight edge, but Dallas has pretty good special teams. Mm-hmm. So they're going to need their power play to be even better in round two than it was in round one. Just because I think they're going to be taking on a slightly better penalty kill opposite them in Dallas.
Yep.
That's where Mikko Rantanen, I think, has more to give. And then defensively, Cale Makar has more to give.
For sure.
He helped to act as a conduit for a lot of their production from the back end, and they're going to rely on that as well.
Yeah.
It kind of counts as their depth scoring, where they can expect some contributions from the back end, but they need him to be a little bit more reliable defensively, because that is where Haskinen, Harley, Tanev, Lindell are pretty steady and solid and were in the first round, allowing very little chances against for Dallas.
Yep.
And that's going to also challenge Colorado as well. Then just the overall shots allowed for Dallas in Vegas in the first round was a lot lower than they were used to seeing with Winnipeg. And Winnipeg had a strategy for limiting Colorado's chances too. Colorado just found a way around it. From one into game two. And so I think that's going to be true of this series as well. But Dallas will probably make any scoring that they come by a little harder to come by. And so that's where I think that Rantanen has more to give. Makar defensively has more to give.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting conversation, I think, offensively for Colorado. Because I'm 100% with you. I think Rantanen has more to give. I think you might even have a little bit more to give out of McKinnon. Not that he wasn't very good in the Winnipeg series, but I just think there's a little bit more there when it comes to production. And my question is, how does that look against a Dallas team that is, I'm going to be honest, Winnipeg did not do a very good job of slowing down Colorado. Yes, they made Colorado change systemically. Colorado moved a little bit more towards dumping the puck in and going and chasing it. But Colorado was still able to use their speed extremely well against Winnipeg. We've seen Pete DeBoer teams before. Historically, they've done a pretty good job of slowing the Avs down. What does that look like for the top guys and really the entire lineup? Is this going to be a, hey, Nathan MacKinnon has more to give, but it's quality play, doesn't necessarily show through in the production side of things? Or is this the Avs finding a way to break that Dallas defense down and use their speed effectively?
Well, Nathan MacKinnon excels at clean, controlled entries for Colorado. And it might not be as clean and controlled against a Dallas team, but I still think that he can use his speed to help them gain the zone. And then from there, some of the hard workers can help to establish the zone.
Sure.
And that's where I think that they'll create off the cycle more so than they'll create off the rush, just because I think that's where Dallas is going to limit those opportunities to create off the rush. So I think that we're going to be seeing a strong possession game from Colorado, and it is going to be working hard to protect the puck when they have it, retrieve the puck when they don't, and go for those second and third attempts like they did against Hellebuck, because Ondra is another good goaltender that they're probably going to have to get bodies to the net and act as screens in Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen like they did in round one. It's going to be important. And the way that they got those players to the net was by driving play deeper behind the goal line. And that's where the hard work comes into play. And so maybe that isn't Nathan MacKinnon's forte, but he is more blue collar in the playoffs in that right than I think that people give him credit for. Yeah. And that's where I think that he can be a physical force that helps to move play deeper into Dallas's end and allow them to get some of the inside ice and high danger chances inside home plate that are going to be made more difficult by Dallas. I think they're going to make that ice very difficult for them to get.
Josh is making a point there that I was going to make. Dallas basically playing 5Ds. Mm-hmm. So they just went through a 7-game series.
Is seriously playing 6 minutes a night.
Yeah, like so that, just scratch that. That doesn't count. So you're playing 5Ds. On a 7-game series, they just went through it. Okay, now you're getting some mileage on your players, right? You're getting some mileage on your bodies. Looking at the second round coming up here, I do believe, no offense to the Vegas Golden Knights, the Avalanche are a different opponent than the Vegas Golden Knights.
Vegas were content to play real slow.
I didn't think there was any pace to their game. I didn't like Stone. I didn't like Hurdle. Hurdle. Yeah, I didn't like
Eichel at the end of the series.
Like, yeah. He was fan good
early yeah. And then there was no push at the end. You'll manage 5Ds, you know. I think against the Avs, it's a little tough to manage 5Ds in a 7-game series with their Ds activating like they do, throwing stuff at you. It's going to be a little challenging to play 5Ds in, figure of speech. We all know there's 6Ds out there, but one of them doesn't play. Avalanche got to be smart, and this is where I take the first round about Mac and Mikko. I thought, you know, again, I never look at points because I tell you all the time, you get the good ice, man. If you're good and you get good ice, you're going to get freaking points. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you get the shitburger ice and you're a bad player, like, it's tough.
Let me ask you about that good ice, though. Is it more important for the Avs to use that good ice to impose their style of hockey on Dallas, or is it more important for them to show that they can win a Dallas-style hockey game?
Well, a little bit of both, and that's why I was saying that it's so important for Mikko. I don't care about the 9 points. I just want to have a more complete game, you know what I mean? And if you do that, you were opportunistic. Yes, Hellebuck wasn't that great. We expect Ondra to be better.
Yep.
You're going to have to fight a little more for it. When I say it, it's the moment, the goal, the assist, you know. They're going to have to be smart. And I thought they were against Winnipeg. If it's not there on the rush, because, you know, that's what everybody tries to do. It's, again, not have to be Captain Obvious here. I mean, everybody's trying to do the same thing. You're trying to slow the abs between the two blue lines. Well, no crap, right? I mean, that's just...
If you can't do that, you're getting your doors blown off, so...
That's it. So you're going to have to do that. No, I don't believe the abs are so smart. They're so experienced, and they're not going to be stubborn with their game. And I didn't think they were against Winnipeg. I thought at times when it wasn't there, they were smart, and they were, you know, a little soft dump and, you know, and then go work. I do believe when you have five Ds, I don't care if you're McKinnon or if it's Woody's line or whatever it is, you have to go play below the goal line. You have to go tire those guys. It's not fun to play defense. There is, Chris Tandem doesn't like to play defense. Nobody likes it. They're lying to you if they do. Nobody likes it because you are breathing heavy. You are freaking wasting energy. You are like, it's just so different. And then once you go cross the red line, then you go play an offense, like you're on the playground. You feel good. Nothing's tiring you out. It's awesome. You know what I mean? And as soon as you got to go back, that's the freaking part that sucks about hockey. It's not fun. It's not fun to defend. But the Avs, I think, do it. And that's why I believe they didn't give up much in those five games is, you know, they are smart. They do believe that their offense starts with their best defense. And obviously they have the elements, like the back end to move pucks. And, you know, like Toronto couldn't do that, right? You know, because their guys aren't really mobile. They can't really move pucks. So they're constructed, they're built that way to not spend time in their own end. And that's why when I hear like, oh, Sammy Girard can't defend in front of him. Well, no shit. Yeah, you know, I don't think he can move Jamie Benn in front of him. And I agree with you. That's just not what he's there for. But the part of it is then don't spend time in your own end. Get the hell out of there quickly, then you don't need to do that. Now, there'll be times when you have to do it, you know.
And that's why Josh Manson exists.
That's why, you know, again, exactly. So it is what it is, but I do believe the Avs, they can be smart with the cliche of the puck management, but it is, you know what I mean? You can't be stubborn with your game. Once you get to those eight teams left, you can't be stubborn. If you're stubborn, it's a big no-no. It doesn't work. Teams are too good. Teams are waiting for you. And then I do believe Dallas is going to try to smother it a little bit like they did to Vegas and play a tighter game and then kind of wait for their opportunities and be smart about it because they know you don't need to be a rocket scientist. Like on paper, the Avs have some serious weapons. Yep. So if you're going to go in a track meet with them, that's what Pete DeBoer said. We're not going in a track meet with them. You know what I mean? So I think at the end of the day, the Avs have to be smart with their puck management, and then they have to be smart with not being stubborn with their game if there's stuff taken away. And then next round, there'll be even more stuff taken away from you, and then the final, there'll be more stuff taken away from you. So, and you're tired, and you're mentally drained, and you're physically drained, and that's what the playoffs is.
Well, make sure you're ready for the bright lights of round two with Shady Rays. Go get yourself quality shades that are built to last from Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that's been rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. They have hundreds of options to choose from. Of course, we love their sunglasses over here. And they even have options that include sight correction. So if you do want some sunglasses that you can see with, Shady Rays can do that too. Go check them out if you haven't been over there yet. Of course, a ton of great sunglasses, but the best part might be their replacement deal. If you lose them, you don't like them, or you break them in the first 30 days, Shady Rays will replace them completely for free. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code DNVR to get 35% off polarized sunglasses. Again, go try them for yourself over at Shady Rays. And once you're looking good in your sunglasses, head on over to Clutch Bet. Clutch Bet Sportsbook is excited to be a partner with us here at DNVR and offer more unique promotions and odds boosts on Colorado's hometown teams than any other sportsbook in the state. For Avs fans, they're currently offering a $5 bonus bet for every game the Avs win during the Stanley Cup playoffs. So make sure you go get in on this. To be eligible, all you have to do is place a futures wager of $25 or more on the Avs to win the Stanley Cup, and Clutch Bet will take care of the rest. They've already won 4 games. You've basically made your money back already. So go get with Clutch Bet right now. New players are also eligible to get a 100% first bet match up to $250 in bonus bets paid over your first 5 weeks. Download the Clutch Bet Sportsbook app today and be sure to keep an eye out for other great promotions and offers for the Avs, the Nuggets, even the Rockies and Broncos. There's a ton more you can do with ClutchBet. Of course, you must be 21 or older, located in the state of Colorado. Please gamble responsibly and call 1-800-GAMBLER if you or someone you know needs help. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We've talked about the Stars. That is the Avs Stars, not the Dallas Stars. I want to move down the lineup into the forward depth because I think Colorado pretty clearly has the edge when it comes to the top guys. Who has the edge when it comes to the forward depth? Can Colorado be on par with the Dallas that has a Wyatt Johnston a little bit down the lineup, that has a Logan Stankoven who's been very good in round one at least for them? Can the Avs keep up? Can the Avs be better? Or is this something that they're just going to have to manage?
Well, I think Eric asked about Mason Marchment, right?
Yep.
The health of him. If he comes back to this series, it makes a really compelling case for the depth side by side. It's not to say that this argument hinges on Mason Marchment alone, sure, but it is what sways, I think, me leaning towards Dallas's depth towards Colorado. I lean a little bit Colorado because the hope, too, is that a Jonathan Drouin enters the round at some point. And that just means a top six player can be an option for the middle six. And that just makes the overall picture for the depth even better. Because I don't necessarily expect Colorado's depth to perform the way that they did coming out of round one, but it still outperformed the likes of Matt Duchene in round one. That's a key piece in Dallas's depth that they need more from. I'm not going to discount that Dallas had 820 goal scorers in the regular season, but that's where their depth has more to give in the postseason. And I think that in looking at the production from a lot of their forward group in the regular season, they do have more to give. But Colorado's depth showed up. They got a lot out of Ross Colton. Miles Wood stepped up in a big way. And I think that it's not necessarily going to be as easy for them as it was in round one, but I think they'll be able to go line by line with Dallas. And in looking at what Yakov Trenin did for Colorado coming out of the first round, I think he's an intriguing piece that makes me look at whatever that fourth line matchup is and kind of favor what Trenin was capable of doing because they
can handle it.
Dadonov and Sagan, like having that as a third line is still a pretty competitive third line. Like you're still looking at a third line that's a bit mysterious because Joel Kiviranta isn't quite ready to return. But if Kiviranta comes back in this series, I really liked what Colton Wood and Kiviranta did as a third line. I feel a lot more comfortable about that matchup too. It kind of feels like a cop out because I'm giving credit to both sides of the argument, but based on what Colorado's depth showed me in round one, I'm inclined to give them the edge. Dallas's players still have a little bit more to show for it. Like, I'm not even going to classify Pavelski as a depth piece, but they have players that typically produce that didn't quite show in round one. And it was a really tight game between Dallas and Vegas. So I think that Colorado is going to try to also play pretty tightly, but Dallas is looking for some more scoring from other places in the lineup outside of their top six. Whereas Colorado got it from a little bit of everywhere to include their back end, which was highly productive. And I think that's also where Dallas could sneak up on you with the Haskinens of the world.
Part of me hates that I've become this guy. And I am not a person that puts all the stock in the world in experience. But what has Matt Duchene won as a depth guy? How effective has Matt Duchene been when you compare him to an Arturi Lehkonen that has forget his time in Colorado. Look at his time in Montreal, scoring series-winning goals for against Dallas, no less. What has Logan Stankoven done compared to someone like a Roscoe? Stankoven will be a great player. He just doesn't have the experience yet.
I mean, even Wyatt Johnston
is
a really young player, and I thought he held his own in the matchups coming out of the Vegas series, but it's going to be a lot more challenging. Like, Casey Mittelstadt's new to the playoff game, but I think he's got a little bit more NHL experience on the whole under his belt and also was a player reborn in the playoffs. We still don't know what Casey Mittelstadt's ceiling in the playoff is.
Flanked by that Arturi Lehkonen, and as you mentioned, potentially later in the series, could be flanked by a Jonathan Drouin, who's been on some deep runs in his career as well.
No, I agree. Listen, experience, it's not being that guy. It's like, it's a fact. Experience is a fact. Like, it was 75 years ago. It was last year. It is this year. It's a fact. Because you know what you can if you can count on someone or if you can't count on someone. And then you know if someone can do it or someone can't do it. But if you've never seen them, then it's an unknown. And that's why it's a little scary, because you're not sure. Casey Mittelstadt was an unknown when they make that trade to go for a second line center. But now Casey Mittelstadt screwed himself. He did, because he can do it.
Now so the now expectations are
absolutely. Yep. That's how it works. You know what I mean? But if a guy never does it, I'm going to use Mitch Marner. I don't want to piss on him, but he's never done it. Never done it. Every year it's like, oh, he's never done it. He's never done it. And it's a different ballgame. Everything goes out the window from regular season. Everything goes out the window. It is not. They should call it a different sport. They should have a different name for it. It's not hockey. It's playoff hockey. I mean, I don't know. It should be under the, because it's not the same thing. It's not. And I think the Avs made that run. Obviously, the championship, they win. They lose some pieces. And then, you know, the salary cap makes you make decisions and, you know, whatever you do. And then last year, they're chasing it the whole year with their injuries and everything. And then this summer, like, okay. There was two parts to it, right? So we got to be greasier. We got to be a little bit tougher in the trenches. And hence, Miles Wood and Ross Colton that became best buddies, which is, you know, awesome. There's nothing to do with it, but it does bring a different element to the machine guns they have at the top. Yep. Like, it's scary, you know. So now you have those guys that are willing to muck it up, are willing to grease it up. They have speed, they have confidence in themselves. Oh, I thought they had a great first round. And then part two was the trade deadline. They hadn't told us, but, you know, they knew that LOC was done, you know what I mean, which is fine. But you had to replace them somehow. Like, Jakob Trenin's been unbelievable. It's been unbelievable. That's an unbelievable addition. I still think Duhaime is the guy that, you know, it's got more to give. And like I tell you all the time, it's tough when you play 6-7 minutes. Like, it is, you know. So, but he'll find a way. He'll be a key piece here coming down the stretch somewhere. And we're going to be like, yeah, here it is. Mm-hmm. So there's been a couple parts to the Avs to make themselves ready for this, ready to play a different, whatever is thrown at them. Whatever's thrown at them, they can play. You saw Winnipeg a little bit trying to run and gun it a little bit. You know, it's like, good luck. You know what I mean? Now you feel that Dallas is going to be a little bit smothering, and that's why they did their stuff. We talked about it 10 minutes ago, about Tanev, and, you know, trying to, you know, tighten the thing up. So I think it'll be interesting, but I think the Avs will be up for the test, and it's going to be interesting to see how they react to what's thrown at them.
And to Chad's point here, Dallas is a really good team.
Absolutely.
The reason we're talking about experience here is not because all experience helps you beat Dallas in five. Experience helps you win a one-goal game in game six. It helps you win in those clutch situations, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you body teams. It helps you be that much better than the other team to get through the hard parts of a game, to get through the critical parts to win a series. It's not the Avs are more experienced, so they're going to blow them out. Nah, that's not what it is at all. So,
no, it's you've been in situations, and that's the difference. Like, we were talking about Boston in the prediction series. Like, everybody's a human being, so it's human nature that if you did something wrong the year before and you are in the same spot, it will creep up in your mind and your thoughts. It's just life. It's just life. It's just the way it is. So now when you have experience and you've been through it and you know what you did wrong the first time around, it does make a difference. And that's why they say, you know, Oilers back then in the 80s and the Avalanche in the early 20s, like, you know, 2020s, like, you learn how to win and defeat. You do. You know what I mean? And that just comes with experience. And that's what I mean by experience all the time. And I'll tell you, when guys have never delivered and then you just wait for them to deliver, usually they end up not delivering. I don't know why it's always been that way. But when you're built with some guys that are your core guys and everything, and they're not, the Avs have delivered.
Yep.
There's no ifs and buts. They do. They deliver in the first round again. They'll deliver again this round. That's just the way they're built. That's who they invested their, the money in. And that's who I'm talking about the management. They invested the money and they invested into the people that they are and to the athletes that they are, which is they've wanted to taste it. They tasted it. They felt it. Now they want to taste it again. And that's where they're way ahead of Dallas, because Dallas, I mean, who's won a cup in there? Sagan when he was 18. I don't even know who else, like, honestly, on top of my head.
That might be it. I don't think there's too many others.
And people say, oh, some people will wait at the trade deadline. It makes a difference, man. I don't get a Pat Maroon can't skate, can't play. Like, because he can't. I'm just being honest. But being around there and being on the bench and just saying things, and, you know, it just calms things down. So I don't know who that is for Dallas, because I really don't, you know.
Pavelski.
Yeah, but
he's gotten
one.
Close.
He's gotten close. That's why he's got, again, he qualifies as experience. You know, he's just never, you can't blame just the one guy. It's a team sport. But, yeah, so he's gotten close. He's gone to the finals and lost. He's gone to, you know what I mean? So it is a big, so you can't dismount that. Like, you have to always respect the experience factor for all those reasons.
I think it lifted the Avs in this first round, because there is no Jonathan Drouin. You lose Kiviranta.
Yeah.
You shelter Kovalenko in his first ever NHL games in the postseason.
Yep.
And you're able to do that, I think, because of the experience. I think Ross Colton and the experience that he brought from Tampa had a huge impact on the course of the series, to include what he was able to do with the third line and the success that they had. After game one, the attitude in talking to Ross Colton was so calm. There was no panic, and he took complete ownership of the Avs game. Instead of looking at Georgiev's performance and showing any ounce of panic, he said, we just have to help Georgiev more. And I believed him. There was something so genuine about how he said it that I believed he can help Georgiev better. He can pull this off. Because I frankly thought the Avs played great in front of Georgiev in game one for the most part. And it just was a really tough goaltending performance. But to hear Ross Colton after that immediately just rise to the occasion and say, we just have to help him even more. It showed such a backing and support in Georgiev that I think went a long way in the turnaround that Georgiev had, because Ross Colton's not the only player, right? There's other leaders in that room that share in that attitude. And I thought that was impressive in Colton specifically. But I think it's a testament to the rest of the leadership too, the turnaround that they were able to have in that series. And how, you know, we see Zach Parise on a second line. I think part of that is the experience that allows that to work. I don't know that we continue to see that through the entirety of the playoffs, but it just speaks to the type of player that the Avs targeted around the deadline as important additions to this group. And then I go back to coaching. I think that Jared Bednar, the experience he brings as a coach, is how this team is able to adapt, especially to the way that the Jets tried to stifle them and keep them to the outside. Colorado adapted. And so in the way that Dallas will try to contain Colorado's speed, I don't doubt that Jared Bednar will have a very in-depth game plan to counter that.
It's when it comes to the forwards, again, Avs pretty clearly have the advantage in the Stars. The depth is maybe a wash, maybe you lean one way or another, depending on who gets who back. If Jonathan Drouin comes back, maybe you feel like the Avs are better. If Mason Marchment, maybe you feel like Dallas is better in the depth. But certainly a very close shave either way there. Whichever one you're watching, make sure you're enjoying your game day snacks from Circle K. Go get part of the inner circle today. Get 25 cents off a gallon on your first five Phillips. You're going to need that gas to keep up with the Avs, I'm telling you. You can also get a bunch of amazing snack deals on game day. Your sixth item is usually free, whether you're buying donuts or pizza or drinks, whatever it might be. You can get it from Circle K with that QR code on screen. Get part of the inner circle today using that, or go to CircleK.com/innercircle to get a part of it. You get five free Polar Pops just for becoming part of the inner circle. So jump on it today with Circle K. And once you got your snack fill, we're thinking about going to an Avs game in the playoffs, get your tickets through Game Time. Game Time can get you $20 off your first purchase when you sign up with their app with code DNVR, and they guarantee you the best price on tickets. Go get with them, whether you use their section selector to save 18%, a great option for Ball Arena since there's no bad seats in the house, and get last-minute ticket deals. And the best part, Game Time guarantees you the best price. If you find a ticket cheaper elsewhere, they'll reimburse your account 110% of the ticket price because they're so confident about it. Even if you're going to other events, it does not have to be Avs playoffs. It could be the Nuggets, or it could be a concert,
or you're going to the theater. You name it, Game Time has the tickets available for you. Go download the app today. There's a link down in the description. And be sure to use that DNVR code when you do sign up with Game Time to get $20 off your first purchase. Second, third period. I can count numbers in the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Defense. Once again, Cale Makar, star better than anything Dallas is going to be able to put on the ice. Not that Miro Heiskanen isn't great. Cale Makar is just better.
I love Heiskanen.
Me too.
But true.
But the defense as a whole, Heiskanen, Lindell, you have some experience with Orion Suter down the lineup. Eric mentioned Chris Tanev as well as one of their deadline acquisitions. Who has the edge as a whole for the defensive unit?
It's one of those, like I've talked about how Dallas looks on paper. Colorado on paper has the edge. However, okay, defensively out of the first round, I think that the top two pairings for Dallas played better defensively than Colorado's top two pairings. However, I still think the third pair in Colorado with Walker as an asset there makes it highly more competitive than whatever the third pair ends up being if Lundqvist plays again for Dallas, which I'm not sure. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like Walker really sounds good then, opposite of whatever the third pairing might be for Dallas. Yep. And then defensively, I know Makar and Taves have even more to give.
For
it's
sure.
Not even to say that they played badly. They just got really great out of Heiskanen and Harley and Lindell and Tanev.
Yep.
I still like Lanson's first round had highs and lows. Like that pendulum swung a lot of different ways.
It did.
And I think that's something that steadies. I think he was just excited to be back in the playoffs at 100%. I think he was robbed of that last year.
Yeah.
And then Girard going back to the cup year, you know, he was also robbed of some important games. So I think that that second pairing can still be competitive with what Dallas has to offer. So side by side, I think Colorado has the edge on paper, but they just have a little bit more to give than they did in round one, specifically defensively.
Yeah.
Because as far as production goes, Colorado blew their D's production out of the water.
For sure.
And that's a good point there, Megan, because I always say, like, right, do what you do best. Be who you are. Don't try to be something you're not. Now their decor has to be what they are, which is what? They have to activate. They have to be the best, you know, point production decor in the National Hockey League. All it's not even close all year long. And then I do believe they are in the first round, too, even though they only played five games. I'm going to be like,
Makar and Taves had 14 points.
That's
alone.
My point right there. I mean, they have more points than the entire Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, that's just in five games. So my point is be who you are. And that's a good point by Megan there. I agree. You know, you're going to have – don't try to be something you're not because that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So part of their makeup is obviously with their top guns up front and top heavy and is their decor. But now you're adding Casey Mittelstadt. That's now turning into a monster,
two-way
whatever
guy,
you want
yeah.
to call that. It's awesome to see. And he's loving it. And he's like, yeah, give me more. You know, I love it. When you make that acquisition, you know, you're assuming that he's going to want it. You know what I mean? But you never know until you do it.
Sure.
Right? And it was a small sample, one round, but it was a hostile environment. It was against a good team, and he did it. That's why I said he screwed himself. Now he's got to do it. Now there's expectations, and it's not like, oh, this guy can't do it. No, he can do it. So I do believe that the decor for the Avs, here's what I'll say. If they can repeat, you know what? Zadorov's not here anymore. We can't blame him for those nice little like pizzas or whatever. And I love Z, by the way. Just you know that.
You do.
I do. But he's like prone to the bad play once in a while, you know. Here's what I'll say about them. Did they make some bonehead plays in the first? They did, you know. Even in the first game. But overall, as a six-man unit in those five games, they did a freaking fantastic job. The Avs didn't give up much. You know what I mean? In those five games. Sure. And if they can do that against, if they duplicate that, here's what I'll say. If they can duplicate that, they'll be in great shape in the second round against Dallas.
Walker, more quietly than Manson, also had highs and lows that I get excited by the highs. Like the lows
for
are
sure.
kind of like, okay, that was obviously a mistake. He knows better than that.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting those mistakes to continue happening, but the upside for Walker, I think, hasn't been fully realized in these playoffs. I don't think he's going to become like a player that totally takes over a series, but I think he's going to have big moments. I think that he can have big moments.
Similar to Mittelstadt for me with Walker. I felt
yeah.
like he,
improved as that series went on against Winnipeg.
I think we talked about him. It's more like the penalties, right? He gets himself in trouble, then he takes penalties.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I don't mind that. You don't want to take the dog out of him. You know what I mean? But you got to be careful. Like, I think somebody was talking on chat about penalties. Like, you know, the Dallas doesn't take a lot of penalties.
They don't. Long as they're not taking them in the offensive zone.
That's right. You know what? You'll defend the other ones. Yeah. You know, it is, or the stupid mouthy ones, which, again, in the playoffs, those are rare. But, but you want to make sure that they don't take a lot of penalties. So just to switch subjects a little bit, like, you're not going to get that many power plays, then you better friggin' connect on them. Because it's very, you don't have time to just like feel your way in, like, oh, well, wait till the next one. You know, it might never come back, you know, so you might have won that game.
At Miko Rant.
Straight up.
Thank you.
He's got to be the guy there. Yeah. There's no doubt on that one. Last thing, and a couple other things, but last positional thing, goaltending. Georgiev and Ottinger really had fairly similar regular seasons this year, both underperformed by quite a bit. In round one, it felt like they both started pretty rough and then found their game as the series went on. I have to give the nod to Ottinger if it's me. Are we in agreement there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I mean, I agree. It was the same season. A lot of wins, but not always at the top of their game.
Yep.
Obviously, Georgiev had that tough first game. Then, you know, he settled in quite nicely.
Gave up, what, 5-on-16 in his first game?
Yeah, and then that's very similar in the playoffs, too. You know, they just all of a sudden, they found their grooves, and they were good enough to give themselves and their team a chance to win. So, very similar. If you just go on reputation, I think you're going to go Ottinger for that reason, for whatever reason it is. But they both need to be good. They both can't be bad. And I think that, you know, one of them's going to have to be great. And I might be the thing that swings the balance in that seven-game series.
It's almost just as much a concern for me with Georgiev in round two as it was in round one. But Georgiev did a lot in round one to improve my trust in him. But it's still, like Eric said, by reputation, there's still existing concern around Georgiev and just his ability to continue to mentally reset if it's necessary again, as quickly as he did. That was what was most impressive and honestly changed my mind about him a little bit. Not so much that I'm going to be blindly confident about Avs goaltending in round two, but I have more confidence than I did entering round one.
I just want to bring something up on chat, Nathan, there. Like, we're not bashing Dallas about experience. I'm saying, if you're comparing the two, once you've won, there's a big difference. Dallas, they've never won as a team. In 2020, with all respect, it was a freaking weird year for all the reasons, for all of us personally, livelihood. I mean, I don't put any stock in 2020. It wasn't hockey. You're sitting in the hotel room and you go in the locker room, you go play a game. It really, and I'm not downplaying the Tampa Bay championship. I'm not. But it was a weird freaking thing. Like, I mean, Montreal, I mean, was, you know what I mean? Like, right there, and it shouldn't have been in the playoffs. I mean, it's just, it was such a messed up year, 2020. But that's what I mean by, and I understand that they just beat the Stanley Cup champions. But you got to remember, I mean, they weren't, again, look at the Avs last year. They got beat by Seattle Kraken. Is the Seattle Kraken an awesome team because they beat the Stanley Cup champions? No, I mean, the Avs were beat up. They were, I mean, so Dallas did what they had to do. VGK had a short summer. They had guys in the lineup that didn't play freaking all year or whatever it was, and played in months, and it showed. You know what I mean? And they were a little bit out of sync. So
look, no one's saying Dallas is a bad team. No, if Dallas wins this series in six games, I don't think any one of us would be surprised.
Exactly. None of us had this going fewer than six games out of respect to the opponent. And I think that there's credit to Dallas in the experience that they're building. Like, they lose the Western Conference Final to Vegas last year, and now they defeat Vegas to move on to round two.
Yep.
I think that people can appreciate the growth that the team experienced, but also acknowledge that the exit Dallas experiences last year is because of a lack of experience. Mm-hmm. Their young stars, to include Ottinger and Nett, struggled to rise to the occasion. I still think that the upside of and Ottinger is higher than we've seen fully realized, but I also think the experience is being built in real time.
And let's be real. They got to play Seattle in round two last year. Not that Seattle's not a good team, but that is a path to the conference finals for Dallas that did not go through the firepower of a Colorado. Again, fair enough. I'm not, they're entirely capable of being a conference finals team again. They're entirely capable of beating the Avalanche. I don't think anyone would say that.
Absolutely.
This is a surefire lock for Colorado. But when you look down to it, as Eric likes to say, you can talk about winning or you can be about winning.
That's it.
I don't know that Dallas has a lot of guys that are about winning. And I think Dallas could get there. Dallas could, down the line, have a guy like Jay Robertson be that.
Yeah, I think he's becoming that. I think, yeah, you know, that's what he's growing up to be right now.
And if he beats the Avs, if they go out and win this series, maybe you can say, hey, he took that next step. He's
Eichel
there.
Was that until he wasn't. Exactly. It just took one long, deep playoff run to get there.
Yep.
Somebody mentioned St. Louis. Like, exactly. You know what? But before that, like, Ryan O'Reilly, are you about winning or are you talking about winning or are you it? Then all of a sudden he is it, right? You know what I mean? And then
you're not it till you're it.
You're not it until you're it. And unfortunately, that's how you judge in this business. And that's the same thing with goaltending and, you know, oh, he can't do it in the big games. Like, you know, who knows? I don't know. You have to go do it.
Yep.
You have to go do it. Go look, turn on your freaking Twitter today about like Toronto. It's all about that. Like Marner and
Nathan McKinnon didn't win shit for the longest time.
Until he did it.
Until he did
it. That's right.
And the conversation was, oh, the Avs couldn't get out of the second round until they did.
And I'm not saying that Dallas can do it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Dallas can't do it.
You're just quoting McKinnon.
I'm just quoting him.
I'm not saying Dallas can't do it. I didn't say that. I'm saying a fact. Like they haven't done it. The Avs have done it. So right there, you have an advantage because you've done it. Until these guys do it, then you can say that as a freaking point that, oh, they can do it.
Yep.
I don't care going to the finals or I don't care, like, whatever it is. Have you done it? That's it.
Okay.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The last thing that I wanted to touch on, the coaching matchup. Pete DeBoer is up 2-0 on Jared Bednar in series. He's also Pete DeBoer in his second year. Traditionally, his teams get worse the longer he coaches them when it comes to their playoff runs. Pete DeBoer is also 8-0 in game sevens, which is incredible. Is it the Avs' time to solve Pete DeBoer? Or does Pete DeBoer just have their number?
Go ahead.
There's no better time than the present. And this is with full respect to DeBoer. Like, I look at why the wild card Seattle team last year was such a challenge for Colorado outside of all of these stacking circumstances around injury and absences. I thought Haxtell prepared his team very well for Avs. And I think Pete DeBoer prepares his team very well and, like, has the Avs number. He kind of knows the anecdote to counter Colorado's attack pretty well. And so it's up to his players to execute that too. But I think this will be just as much a coaching battle as it is a battle with the talent on either side.
It's not going to be easy either way. I'll tell you that right now.
I do believe experience plays a factor too, you know, but Bednar's got experience. DeBoer's got experience with his sidekick there. What's wrong with me here? Steve Spott, Gabe Landeskog's junior coach. You know, he's been with him forever. Those two go a long ways, and you could see after the game yesterday was the big hug right on the bench there. Those two are salt and pepper. I mean, they're always together, right? So it's been a long journey for Pete DeBoer. Has never won, but he's been there. I do believe experience, coaching wise, you've seen situations, you've reacted to situations, you have your beliefs and stuff that works and doesn't work. So it will be interesting to see those two teams, you know, because of both teams have a crap ton of experience behind the bench. Yeah. You know, Bednar's got to be what, the second longest tenured coach right now?
I think third.
We're the same coach. We got Sully in Pittsburgh.
Sully and Coop. Yeah.
Coop, yeah, still there. Yeah. So three. I'm not talking about total games. I'm talking about with the same team. Yeah. So he knows his team. Pete DeBoer knows the game, knows the league. It's going to be interesting to see how they adapt and how they go at each other. And, you know, there's a lot of mind games, a lot of games within the games. As you know, it gets more magnified. Now there's only four series. You know, it's not eight. So everybody's watching those four series. And then it goes down to two. And then it goes down to one. And, you know, so everything you do is magnified. And those guys have been there. So it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, you're giving an A before the series starts to both coaching staff, you know, because they've been there.
Yep. We're expecting a close series, and however that plays out, if the Avs are going to win it, they have to slay some demons, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Pete DeBoer, whether it's winning at home or winning a game seven. It's never an easy path. Either way, if Dallas is going to win it, they have to go slay some of their own demons. Valerie Nichushkin, who we hardly talked about in this, was unbelievable in round one for Colorado. I don't know. It could go either way. I think we all had the Avs in six. Does that make us homers? Maybe. Or maybe the Avs go win in less than that. I don't know. That's why we have to go watch the games. Any final thoughts from either of you before we get out of here?
No, I mean, I'm excited because, like I said, you're down to eight teams. So it's, you know what? It's a privilege. Not only is it a privilege to be part of the eight teams, but it's also a privilege to welcome that pressure that comes with it. Like I said earlier, it's a different pressure. And usually those guys love it because it's not, I don't know why, the first round you are so frozen. And then by then you're like, okay, we're through this. Now let's go. And then it's all gravy, basically, the rest of it. And that's all you got to take and enjoy and enjoy the moment and have fun with it.
They're defawed.
I'm here for it. All right. I guess that's going to wrap up this series preview. Game one is tomorrow. You know, we've got you covered with pregame watch along and postgame there. We'll also be posting the rest of our round two series previews today. So make sure you're going and checking those out. Already have ones out for Canes, New York and Vancouver, Edmonton. So go watch those on these YouTube channel. Go check out all our other content on the DNVR.com. We appreciate y'all and we'll talk to you tomorrow. We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.